Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, warm welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and with me this week to discuss the final weekend of the Premier League season, nothing to play for, but hopefully some decent bets coming from James Milton and Ian Wilkerson. Wilko, you didn't get the memo on the dark blue shirt,
but
you're looking very, very smart.
Having any shirt, you know, is a result for me, so it's not too bad.
So we don't lose our shirts. And what we discussed this week, so we've got all 10 Premier League games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Sunday. We've also got the penultimate fixture for West Ham and Man U tonight. We'll have a look at that. But we will get stuck into the playoffs because we now know the teams that will be vying for promotion from the Championship, League One and League Two. We'll start with the Championship, where, I'll tell you, we've got a real high quality quartet here, haven't we?
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this. And obviously, all three promoted clubs from last season stayed up, didn't they? So there's a lot of incentive to do well here. So the latest betting from our friends at Paddy Power is 13-8 Fulham, 11-4 Borough, 11-4 Villa, and 9-2 Derby County. So first of all, James, out of those four, I can't help feeling, much as I love a lot about Fulham, they're a little bit short here. What do you think? Do you think 13-8 is a good bet?
No, I don't. I think you're spot on. It is a high quality field, and you know, I was seduced by Fulham last season at a similar price. And if anything, it's even tougher this season. They've been on that phenomenal run since around Christmas. And yet just missed out on automatic. And you know, the knowledge that had they won at Birmingham on the final day, they'd have been up because Cardiff only drew. So that is it's a huge kind of mental wound to get over. Having said that, I think they've got a great chance against Derby. The problem for Fulham is the quality of the other semi-final.
Yeah.
And I think, I was discussing this with Dan Charles, who's always a man you want to listen to on these matters. He said, there's no doubt Fulham are the best team in this playoff, but you know, the best team, so rarely comes out on top. You know, last season it was Reading and Huddersfield who got to the final with which was very much against expectations.
And I think that's still the worst football match I've
ever
seen.
It was horrific, wasn't it? It was
absolutely terrible.
And then Reading have kind of franked that form this season by kind of.
But Huddersfield?
Well, yeah,
unbelievable.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah,
extraordinary.
Okay, so who are you going to go for?
I think Middlesbrough have got the right blend of grit and quality. Actually scoring plenty of goals under Tony Pulis, which few people would have anticipated. But I think they're the ones for me at the prices.
Borough for James. Borough, obviously, our Ranieri always used to say. We are playing Borough this week. And who do you like for...
I would agree with James's analysis on Middlesbrough. I have my misgivings about Fulham because, the psychological impact of what's happened sort of like in the last few days with that defeat at Birmingham brought that great run to an end.
I don't think you need to go too over the top on that. I mean, they lost a football match, but I mean,
it's
too short, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's definitely, that is a that the primary consideration is the price that they look for. They do look like four decently matched teams. Derby have got a bit of a head of steam up at home, particularly. They're getting a tune out of Cameron Jerome. He's coming good at the right time. He'll be a big threat. But it's just Middlesbrough for me. Villa have been going well. Their opponents that they play in their semi-final, but Borough have lost. They've lost three times since February the 3rd, and two of those defeats were against the two teams who have got promoted. And they've scored twice, at least twice, in seven of their last eight home games. So I think playing at home in the first leg for them is going to suit them because they're going to be positive and they're going to go for it. So because people always say, oh, you're better off playing at home in the second leg, but I think that they can get a bit of a charge against Villa.
Okay.
And then push on. So, they're 11-4 to go up, and I quite like that. I think it's a decent price.
Let's look at League One now. Charlton are the favourites here. 15-8 with Paddy Power. It's 12-5 Rotherham, and it's Burlington, Bertie, the other two, Shrewsbury and Scunthorpe. That kicks off tonight, doesn't it? The old League One playoff. So who's going to go up out of those four, James?
I think, again, at the prices, Scunthorpe look quite appealing. Charlton are short because they're in with Shrewsbury. I mean, it's extraordinary. In League One and League Two, I think the highest finishers are the outsiders of the four, Shrewsbury and Exeter. And Shrewsbury have just kind of... you know, they've exceeded expectations in an extraordinary fashion. I think they were 40-1 outsiders of the whole division for promotion at the start.
So for, I mean, promotion the, or the title
for promotion.
For promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So the you know, obviously relegation favourites as well.
But they just petered out towards the end.
They did, they? Which was understandable. They've had some crucial injuries as well. So they're coming in, you know, struggling a little bit. And Scunthorpe, since they got rid of Graham Alexander, people were shocked by that. But they've really picked up. They've kind of got their wobble out of the way. So I think they're going to give Rotherham a really hard test in the semis.
Okay, so Milts is going for Scunny. Who are you going for, Wilkes?
Well, as regular viewers of my appearances on this podcast will know, that I watch a lot. I live in Charlton, and I watch a lot of Charlton.
They probably won't know that. I bet if right. I did a survey and asked,
well, we often get asked about it. Often
where
I get
does
a
Ian
six
Wilkeson
question.
Live? I bet they wouldn't say it.
Yeah, but they but I talk about Charlton a lot
okay.
on these shows.
So you're an expert on Charlton.
Well, I do watch. You know, I watch them. I've watched them sort of 10 times this season.
Are they like Fulham? Too short, Wilco?
Yeah, I think. I'm amazed they've got in the playoffs. They've played poorly in some games. They've conceded too many late goals. They just, when you think they're going to make the push, have not done it, and they've really sneaked in. There's a big boost down there. The fact that Lee Bowyer's they've had a lot of off the field problems in the last few seasons at Charlton, but the real sort of like one of their own mentality with him and Johnny Jackson as the assistant manager, that's given the whole place a lift. They've scraped their way through. But I think they're too short. They might get found out. I hope my daughter's obsessed with Charlton Athletics. So I really hope that they're going to be able to get up. But as James said, Scunthorpe, I saw them at the Valley about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They got a 1-0, well organised, lively up front. They're on a good run. They've lost 2 of their last 14 matches. And they're a team who look good. They've drawn a lot of games, but, you know, they seem like scrappers. They seem like the people that you don't have to be the best team to get through in the playoffs. Sometimes it's just sort of like digging in and grinding it out. And they look like they've got that particular quality. So 13 points
to get it done, yeah?
Yeah, 13 points in their last 5 games. So they're in a good nick. 10-3. I like them.
Lovely. The teams in League Two, basically, I think Coventry and Lincoln are the favs, aren't they? And who have we got in there? Exeter and who's the other
one? Notts County.
Notts County. You Pines, of course, yeah. And I was amazed when I was researching my column this week. I do some research sometimes, and I've discovered that Coventry, well, I didn't research it, I read it in The Observer. This is their first top six finish since 1970 in any division. Absolutely extraordinary. So, James, will Cov go on and get themselves back up one quarter of the way to where their fans remember them as being teams?
I think they've got a decent chance. They're definitely respected by the bookmakers, but I like the look of Lincoln, actually, in this. Yeah, you look at what they've achieved in the past couple of seasons. They had that fantastic FA Cup run last season. And then also were in a real scrap for the National League title. You know, we hear so many Premier League managers moaning about, you know, cup runs and distractions of Europe and whatever. And the Cowley brothers at Lincoln just won't.
They love it, don't
they? They won't put up with any of this. Yeah, no, they brilliant. Say if you're winning games, then it's great, isn't it? And they've done exactly the same this season. You know, won the EFL trophy and sneaked into the playoffs at the end. I think I tipped them to go up actually in our half-time team talk just before Christmas. I think they're exactly the same price now. So you've not got the value. You've tied up your money for 5 months, and you've had a nervy final day. But the good news is, yeah, I think you've still got a great chance of a winner there.
The imps for Milt, too, for you, Wilco.
I can't agree with him all day. So I think. Exeter might have been overlooked a little bit in this because they've had some decent form. They've lost 2 of their last 10 and 1 defeat at home in their last 15. So if they can build on that, I think they'll give Lincoln a good run for their money in what could be quite an even tie over two legs.
I think expected goals at Exeter aren't rated highly. So if you do fancy, you know, going against that kind of trend, then that's why they're such a big price.
Really?
And as I mentioned, they, you know, they're highest place finishers, but outsiders of the four.
Okay, so to summarise, the boys both fancy Borough to go up to the Prem. They both fancy Scunthorpe to replace them in the Championship. James fancies Lincoln to come up from the League Two playoffs. And Wilco thinks that Exeter might be the value to do that. Well done, lads. Thank you very much. Let's go on to our games then. So we've got the final round of matches in the Premier League all taking place on Sunday. But before then, West Ham and Manchester United will stroll around the London Stadium, wondering quite why Man United almost certainly can only finish second. West Ham might finish 8th, I don't know, the 12th or something, but they can't go down, so no worries there. So with that in mind, it's 7-2 West Ham, it's 11-4 the draw, it's 8-11 Man United. Man United obviously want to keep themselves slightly fresh for the FA Cup final. Wilco, what's going to happen here?
Not a lot, probably. It was interesting to see and watch United at Brighton the other day. They didn't play particularly well at all, and Mourinho laid into a few people who he thinks.
But here's a question, right? He lays into them, but they're like a teenage child when their parents are clean their room.
I saw Martin Keown on Match of the Day, and he was talking about this, and he was talking about, we're talking about his strikers primarily, so Martial and Rashford because Lukaku's injured. And he was saying, they're young players, they need to be nurtured and all something. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, they're playing in the first team at Manchester United, surely they should be the finished article, they should be much better.
I don't think Mourinho thinks they are, that's the problem. He doesn't think they are. So. But he doesn't do the David O'Leary, their only baby.
Yeah,
he absolutely chucks them under the bus every time they don't play well.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Rashford's third season, you know, he's not a kid anymore. You know, perhaps it is time for him to stand up a little bit.
Fair enough.
But I don't think West Ham mission accomplished after that win at Leicester last week, which was a great result for them. I can't expect much going on in this one. Both teams have scored in just two of United's last 8 away games, and one or both not to score in this game is 11-10. I think that's quite a good price.
That sounds very, very sensible, Wilco. Milts, have you got a bet for us on this game?
I'm a bit more optimistic about West Ham's chances, actually. I mean, Moisey will be up for it if no one else is. And they've actually, this stat blew my mind, they've actually failed to score in only one of their last 19. So I think
that is a good stat.
I mean, you know, Mark Arnautovic is a doubt. That's obviously a key piece of team news if you're having a bet on this game. But I could see West Ham holding United to a draw in this one. I mean, United weren't at the races at Brighton, were pretty poor against an understrength Arsenal side the week before. So, you know, their season's kind of petering out. And obviously, as you mentioned, the FA Cup final is the key fixture for them now.
Only one failure to score in the last 19.
Yeah,
West Ham.
Astonishing.
Okay, let's look at the playoff games next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, lads, you've given us your thoughts on the Championship playoff teams in terms of who's going to actually end up going up. Let's look at the two matches now, the first legs. 7:45 Friday, Derby County versus Fulham. James, what do you think will happen here?
We mentioned Fulham's tough end to the season, missing out on the final day on automatic. But I think this is a great chance for them, actually. And I like the look of Fulham to win by one goal margin. And that's kind of around 16-5, so just bigger than 3-1. And you know, Derby have done well to overcome their traditional blip and sneak into the playoffs. 7 points from games against Cardiff, Villa and Barnsley in their last three. But having said that, you know, their long-term form since Christmas, they've won 7 out of 23 games. And Fulham are still, you know, arguably one of the best two sides in the division, certainly one of the best three. They are a class act. They've been very good away from home, kind of generally sort of nicking wins. But I think they've got a decent chance. I think they're around 6-4 to actually win the game, but be a bit greedy and go for the one goal Fulham victory.
One goal Fulham victory at 16-5 with Paddy Power. Other odds are available from other bookmakers. Wilco, who do you think will win?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. It's less than 2 months since Fulham won at Derby. So, I mean, that's going to be a bit of a boost for them. But I highlighted before the form of Cameron Jerome, who's been 4 goals in his last 3 games, has helped Derby get them over the line. So I see he's to score at any time at 23-10. So I quite like that one. And but I'd expect quite an open game and full of attacking as well. Mitrovic has been a brilliant signing for him. So I think it's going to be an entertaining encounter. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jerome gets on the mark.
Okay, the 5:15 Saturday game is Middlesbrough versus Villa. We're going to be doing, they played for both clubs on this one, lads. So give that some thought. But in the meantime, tell us who's going to emerge victorious, James.
We've mentioned Middlesbrough's home form. The last eight, 7 wins and 1 defeat, and that was against champions Wolves. So
Are they grinding it out, or are they playing quite expansive stuff? I mean, Pulis here we're talking
about. They've got some talented attackers. You know, Adama Traore's really caught the eye, and Patrick Bamford finished the season well.
Palace fans are saying if we, you know, God forbid we do lose Wilf, then he'd be the...
He'd look a lovely fit there. I think they. I think that, you know, obviously with the Pulis side, there's going to be a solid base. But yeah, he's got talented players at that level, and that home form for me makes them a really good bet around 13-10 for the first leg. I mean, Villa have to be respected, so much experience, and they have had a pretty solid season. They lost 6 of 8 away at the other top 9 teams, though. And just looking at, you know, the goals have just dried up a little bit for them. They've scored 12 times in the last 10, but 7 of those came against Reading, who are really poor, and Ipswich, who are pretty much on the beach as well. So you know, that is a concern, and I think Borough just have the firepower, and they will know that home advantage is going to be so crucial in this tie. I don't think they'll want to go to Villa Park, you know, needing too much. So I think they'll go pretty positive in this first leg.
Okay, Wilco.
Yeah, I'd echo those sentiments, really. I've already said about how Borough have been prolific at home. And although Villa have claimed 10 away wins this year, only 3 of them are against teams in the top 10. So they've beaten some of the rubbish down the bottom on their travels, but this is plainly a bit of a step up in class in that respect. I expect Borough to be very positive and to take an advantage into the second leg.
Okay, they played for both clubs.
The late, great Ugo Ekiok.
Yeah.
Andy Townsend.
Whoa. Good. Merce.
Merce,
yeah.
Did Gareth Southgate play for both?
Yes, he did.
Yes, yeah, with right distinction.
It's quite a good team, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any goalies?
Goalies.
I don't know. Okay, if you can think of any later on.
I might just shout some out.
We'll buzz in.
4 good ones there. Okay, back with Sunday's Premier League games next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Bruce Millington, James Milton and Ian Wilkerson looking ahead to the final batch of Premier League games taking place on Sunday. And I tell you what would have been quite a good betting heat. Name the games that Sky picked. They've gone for Liverpool v Brighton, Newcastle, Chelsea and Southampton, Man City. That tricast would have paid a few quid there, because I'm not quite sure what they've based it on here. Any thoughts, James?
Not really, no. I mean, kind of mathematically, you're looking at things that are just about still alive. But yeah, you'd have thought Swansea, Stoke might be the one. I don't know.
There'll be some poor bastard sitting at Sky right now going like this, having just had an email from some saying, you're in charge of marketing this Sunday Premier League broadcast. It's like, what am I going to do?
They'll find a way. They're brilliant at selling this rubbish.
What are they going to bill it as? Anyway, we're going to bill it as potential betting success. Because although the games do lack a competitive edge to a certain extent, there will hopefully be some very interesting angles for us to exploit. So we'll start then with the three... Well, they're all 3 o'clock. We'll start with the one at Anfield. It's Liverpool versus Brighton. Jimmy Case. That's all I can think of at the moment, for they played for both clubs, but I'm sure we can do better.
Mark Lawrenson.
Who?
Mark Lawrenson.
Mark Lawrenson, of course, you win.
Right, and anyway, Michael Robinson.
Michael Robinson, yes. It's 1-7 Liverpool. It's 13-2 the draw, and it's 14-1 Brighton. James, I'm certainly not going to back Liverpool at 1-7 unless you can make an extraordinarily good case for why I should.
I'm going to have to tear up my notes now. No, I'm not tipping Liverpool at 1-7. I'm hoping for a kind of testimonial vibe to this game. I mean, Liverpool, I think, realistically need a point. 15 goals better off than Chelsea on goal difference. And for that reason, I think under 2.5 is a big price. Almost 2-1, 15-8, I think you can get. I mean, Brighton just don't score any goals away from home. And Liverpool have only conceded 10 in their 18 home games in the league. So I think, I don't see Liverpool going out all guns blazing. You know, we've seen some terrific attacking displays from them this season. But Brighton make life difficult for any opponents, as I showed showed recently beating Manchester United. So I think it's, you know, I don't think it's going to be a classic. Liverpool have actually failed to score in three of their last five. Obviously, they've had their Champions League distractions. But so, you know, you could see a kind of 1-0, 2-0 Liverpool win. But unders looks the bet for me.
OK. That distraction obviously still does remain because they've got the small matter of the funnel, which is 13 days after this fixture. It's a difficult one, that, for prep-wise, isn't it? They'll be twiddling their thumbs, won't they? Wilco, do you think that their final rehearsal before that will be a successful one, or could Brighton nick something?
I don't think Brighton will nick something. We're not seeing much evidence of potential for that from their away performances, because they're witnessing 12 away matches, and going to Anfield, I wouldn't really fancy their chances as well as they did play when they beat United earlier in the week. Like James, I don't think we're going to be seeing a host of goals in this match. Don't anticipate, for all Liverpool's attacking skill and ability, they've not been really running right in their home matches. You know, they've scored more than twice in just three of their last 14 home matches. So, like James, I think the unders is the way to go. So 15 to 8, 7 before, something like that.
I think teams are so wary now, you know, it's kind of damage limitation. They've seen what Liverpool have done, particularly in Europe, just
blown teams away. You can also suppress this lot to an extent, can't you?
Yeah.
Now, I know that there'd be some Liverpool fans saying, we'll try telling Pep Guardiola that. But, you know, if they're not playing their absolute A team, you know who the threats are, and you know who the functionaries are.
And teams are going to put players behind it. But, you know, they've run right in games like with City and Roma when teams have had a go at them. Mm. We've seen that a lot with Spurs this season as well.
Yeah.
Talking about the gap before the Champions League, I mean, surely Liverpool have organised some friendly tournament in Australia or something.
You'd hope so.
Qatar would be
the natural thing.
Good question. Right, another meaningless game. 3 o'clock, Newcastle. Who are going through the motions, they're safe, they don't have to worry. And Chelsea, you know, really abysmal defence of their Premier League title. They'll not fancy this one iota. It's liable to be... they've got the cup final as well, haven't they? Of course, the following week. So, again, enthusiasm levels might be on the way in here, but hopefully we can enthuse ourselves with a bet. The latest from Paddy Power. 9-2 Newcastle, 11-4 the draw, 4-7 Chelsea. I'm not going to touch the 4-7 either. Wilco, you go first on this.
No, one. I'm not touching that 4-7. Newcastle, you know, for how they've been sort of like challenging to be wind down Wallies at the end of this season. They played well against Spurs last night. You know, seeing the highlights, they definitely look worthy of getting a draw. So perhaps they're going to have a bit of a lift and put something in against a team that will really be deflated after that performance against Huddersfield. Never really got going. They would have really stole that match. So I think a draw.
Chelsea never got going.
Well, they never really looked.
15, they were all over.
Yeah, but they never.
Bloody hell!
He made a great save.
Oh, that save's overrated, mate. That save is overrated. Honestly, the way they were going on about it last night was like Banks
kept them up.
Brazil. Yeah, I know, but
it can't be, can it? It can't be overrated if it's the thing that
it's important. But yeah. You know, anyway.
So
Chelsea did play well for the last 15, I thought.
But I wasn't ever convinced that they were going to knock one in. I'll go for a draw, 11-4.
Draw for Wilco. Who for you, James?
Yeah, definitely opposing Chelsea. I think the Newcastle will draw a double chance. When you look at Newcastle's form, actually, they've won four in a row and then have lost their last four. So you could kind of, you know, if you're just looking at that, you can see kind of exactly the moment they down tools. But as Wilco said, you know, they played pretty well at Tottenham. All those defeats have been by a one-goal margin. Chelsea's last five wins have been by a one-goal margin. So, you know, it looks like a tight game. And for that reason, the 4-7 Chelsea just makes no appeal whatsoever.
Did Nigel Pearson play for Villa and Borough?
I don't think he played for Villa, did he? I'm not sure.
OK, all right. 3 o'clock also, Southampton, Man City. Man City need to win this to get to the magical 100-point barrier. Southampton just need to avoid getting beat by about 9. So, with that in mind, the latest from Paddy Power, 6-1 the Saints, 7-2 the draw. It's 2-5 Man City. Miltz, what's the approach here going to take?
It's hard to know what Southampton are going to do with this game. I mean, after that tension of that huge 1-0 win at Swansea, you think even though mathematically there's a chance they could go down, I think they'll play with a bit more freedom. They've had kind of 3-2 defeats.
They've just got to avoid conceding two in the first 10.
They've had 3-2 defeats to Chelsea and Arsenal in their last two kind of clashes with the big six. And City can just do what they like, really. So over 3.5 goals looks a decent bet for me. Copped in 6 of City's last 7. And the exception was that 0-0 draw with Huddersfield, who obviously, as we've seen this week, were scrapping for their top flight lives. So yeah, I think a bit more of a laid-back atmosphere down at St Mary's and hopefully plenty of goals.
Over 3.5 milts. Who for you, Wilco?
Yeah, I think this will be the most entertaining of the three live offerings. Southampton, that was such a massive result for them that the way that other results have gone as well, again, give them a little bit more freedom to be more proactive, I think, against City, who, they are still prone to the odd defensive lapse. And Charlie Austin's been showing, he's been a big boost for them coming back. And I'd fancy City and both teams to score at 13-8.
Lovely. Right, let's whiz through the other games then. Now, one thing that is still very much alive here, if you've had a bet on the handicap this year, I have. I backed City. I thought they'd absolutely dominate. And I've seen it myself, oh, this is great, I'll just check in and see where I am. I now find that we're neck and neck with Burnley. So that's a disaster. So I'm going to be rooting for Bournemouth to win at Burnley. Burnley are 11-10 to get the 3 points here to put the lid on a fantastic season for them. It's 23-10 the draw, and it's 12-5 the Cherries. So what's going to happen here then, Milts? Will my handicap bet be safe?
I'm going to be the bearer of bad news for you. I think Burnley are a really good bet at odds against in this one.
As long as they both win, as long as City match their result, I'm okay. But there's other bookmakers who I think they need City to better the Burnley results.
Yeah, I mean, it does just go to show the incredible job Sean Dyche has done there. And he's actually a big factor in this bet for me, because I don't think he'll want them to end such an amazing season on a low point. Obviously, they lost 5-0 at Arsenal last weekend. So I think this is a great opportunity for them to go out with another win. They've only lost 4 of 25 against teams below them. That's why they're in the position they are. And Bournemouth, in contrast, have lost 12 of 15 against the top 8. So I just think Burnley are going to be too tough for Bournemouth, really, in this one.
There's two derbies, isn't there? They're both the XG overachievers, aren't they? And they're also, obviously, the Eddie Howe managed or manage them derby. Who's going to win this one then, Wilkes?
I think both teams will score in this game. Burnley, they were really on a hiding to nothing at Arsenal, weren't they, with Wenger's last game? I think it was prone to being a disappointment, I think. But they've won just 2 of their last 9 games at Turf Moor. So I would give Bournemouth a squeak if they hadn't. They've got a poor away record with only 1 win in 12 on the road, but that was the 3-0 at Chelsea, which appears to be a bit of a freak result. But they failed to score in just 1 of their last 8 on away. So I'll give them a chance. That's 5-6, both teams to score.
BTTS. Okay, down at Selhurst, Palace at 8-11 to beat West Brom, who are 100-30, and it's 13-5 the draw. There is still a little bit riding on this, in so much as the avoidance of the wooden spoon is up for grabs. I think West Brom are 9-2 generally to finish bottom. Stoke are 1-6.
You'd have cashed that. You'd have spent that money, wouldn't you?
I've got to tell you this. This is one of the few things that's gone right from this season. At the start of the season, I backed West Brom and Stoke to finish bottom, 28-1, 25-1. I cashed out the West Brom bet and virtually got the full amount. And now Stoke are virtually odds on to do it. So it's gone absolutely perfectly.
Donuts on Monday.
These things don't normally happen to them. Will West Brom avoid the wooden spoon, James Milton?
I'm not sure, but I think this is going to be entertaining. I mean, over 2.5 goals. West Brom, obviously, relegated, but playing with more confidence under Darren Moore. And Palace have really found their scoring boots recently. Last two home games, 3-2 against Brighton, 5-0 against Leicester. Then they went and won 2-1 at Stoke. So I think it's going to be an entertaining end of the season at Selhurst.
Overs, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, have you seen our new kit, by the way, lads? Did you see it? It's the unveiling the kit season. I was welling up last night, so they unveiled
the sash.
It. The sash is back, right? And the way they did it, they got this video of Vince Hilaire now walking along with all these memories in the background. And then he just comes and stops, and there's a statue, and it's Wilf in the new away kit.
Why? Tear in your eye, mate.
Mate, more than a bit. Honestly, it was unbelievable. It was like the Office Christmas special when Dawn and Tim kicked in. It was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, Wilco, Palace West Brom.
Your boys, Palace, they've had such a good end to the season, haven't they? And the games that they've lost have been against the big boys, and narrowly they've accounted for, you know, really well after starting such so dismally, you know, to be where they are is a fantastic achievement. West Brom, you know, they're fair play to them the way that they've carried on in the last few weeks. I still think that they may be able to get a point in this game. So 13-5 a draw.
Okay, Huddersfield. After that heroic result at Chelsea last night, apparently they were due to fly home, but they didn't. They all got rather wonky on our team. So how they're going to be for this one against Arsenal remains to be seen. But it's 4-1 Huddersfield, 3-1 the draw. It's 8-13 Arsenal. My question for you, James, is would you back a team at 8-13 who have gained literally zero away points this calendar year? Because I certainly wouldn't.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's seven away defeats on the trot for Arsenal.
And he says they're only two players away from being a good side again. What, Messi and Ronaldo?
And, you know, Huddersfield are going to have to be pretty hungover to make those Arsenal odds appeal at all. I mean, it's, you know, there are kind of vague excuses for it in that there was so much focus on the Europa League. But it's just a horrible run of form, and it says... Yeah, it says as much about the kind of attitude of the Arsenal players as it does about their ability. It's a genuinely pathetic and embarrassing streak, and you know, hopefully Arsene Wenger can snap it in his final game. But the bet that stands out for me is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, first goal scorer. I think kind of 3-1. It's a pretty solid each way bet there. He's made a terrific impact, as I think everyone thought he would.
Do you like
do.
Him?
Yeah. You know, he saw his kind of two poachers finishes against Burnley. It's exactly what Arsenal needed. 9 goals in his first 11 Premier League starts, and he's the man.
I've got to say, Wilco, that the way that I view Wenger and the way Arsenal fans view him, it's sort of gone like that. So I was always, no, he shouldn't have to go. But now he's gone, and I look at how bad it is. And I thought his speech last week was a bit arrogant, to be honest. I didn't really get moved by that. Whereas all the Arsenal fans, Wenger out, and now it's a whole legend.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one. Do you think they can put a very thin veneer of icing on a pretty ropey old cake?
Yeah, but I wouldn't back him at 4-7 to do it. I mean, that's a horrendous price. They've not lost the last seven away games. And it's not like they've lost, you know, it's not always been against good teams. And some of them, even going through the motions, have turned Arsenal over. But like James says, Aubameyang, he looks the real deal, doesn't he? He looks the part. And I think if they're going to do well next year, they've got to find a way of getting him and Lacazette to play with each other. And you know, bring the best out of each other. If they do that and shore something up at the back, then they can be pushing for a top four place this year. So along the line with Aubameyang, 4-1 to score 2 or more goals. I'll take a chance on that.
Okay, Man U v Watford, 2-9 Man U, 5-1 the draw, 10-1 the Orns. Wilco, you lead on.
Unders for me. Watford not scored in their last 7 on the road, and I just think.
Crumbs.
Although they did play well against Spurs. They were another team who played well against Spurs at Wembley and knocked on the door and couldn't knock one in. I just think 1 or 2 will be enough for United. Fair enough. It easy with a cup final on the road. So that's 15-8. That's a big price, I think.
Yeah, it does seem big, doesn't it? Milts.
Yeah, I've not got a strong opinion. Probably the draw, Man United double result, really. I mean, you know, as Wilkes has said, Watford don't score many goals. Could keep it tight early on. United obviously playing Thursday night as well. So, I don't think it'll be all guns blazing in the first half from United, but they should get their job done.
If you want a cracking electric atmosphere, don't go to Swansea Stoke. Both been relegated. Both be very, very glum. Well, I mean, Swansea could win 9-0, I suppose, and get out of it, but it's highly unlikely, given it takes them about 4 hours to score a goal these days. 5-6, Swansea. 13-5 the draw, 16-5 Stoke. I've got zero interest in backing Swansea odds on here. James, do you?
No, I don't. The one bet that possibly stood out was more goals in the second half, which is evened. You know, even if Swansea need kind of 9 goals or whatever, you know, they'll want to just put on some kind of show for their fans. And actually, Stoke, the last 16 goals in Stoke games, 13 have been in the second half. I mean, they're very slow starters themselves. So, it's not the most thrilling game, but maybe Swansea will finish with a late rattle.
Okay, second half to have most goals. That's what Milts fancies. What do you fancy, Wilco?
Well, you say you went back Swansea at 5-6. They were 4-6 before what happened last night, that they would, you know, the need to win was
factored
into that.
I'd rather be on them at 4-6 because, I mean, they might just go absolutely gung-ho.
I can't have. I've got no interest in this game at all, really. But I'm a token punt on the draw for me.
Righty-ho, Tottenham are 1-4 to seal third place against Leicester. I suppose that is quite important, isn't it? Because it saves your qualifying.
Well, for this year it won't, because the criteria has changed, that there's four extra places in the group stages non-qualifiers, and one of those goes to the team that finishes fourth.
I didn't know that. Fair enough. Okay, it doesn't matter. 1-4 Tottenham, 9-1 the Foxes, 9-2 the draw, James.
I think Jamie Vardy, anytime goal scorer here. Saw a fantastic stat on the BBC that since Vardy's Premier League debut, he scored 24 goals against the so-called Big Six. And the nearest challenger in those games is Sergio Aguero with 20. So, I mean, it was one of those that kind of made sense. You look at him and he does tend to pop up in these
games. Well, I suppose
also
the good sides push up against
exactly. So he gets in behind. This game looks nicely set up for him. As Ian's mentioned, Tottenham have been kind of keeping clean sheets at Wembley, but giving away plenty of chances as well. Vardy scored again against Arsenal in midweek on penalties.
He's still underrated, isn't he?
I think he's had a terrific season, actually. Yeah, that's the bet for me.
I like that. Vardy for Miltz. Wilco, what do you think will happen here?
I think I'd anticipate quite an open game, and I think where Newcastle and Watford failed to breach the Spurs' defence, with a combination of bad luck and some decent goalkeeping, I think Leicester can make their mark, and Spurs... Yeah, they've defensively been a bit shaky. They've been a bit nervy. The shackles could come off now that they've finally got over the line. But both teams score 9-10. Like that a lot.
Righty-ho. And finally, it's West Ham versus Everton. 7-5 West Ham, David Moyes' current club. 15-8 Everton, the club where he made his name. 23-10 the draw. Very briefly, lads, because I'm bored just reading the bloody prices. Go on.
It's a fitting finale for the Premier League. I can't see a single bet in this. I'd just go out and buy a box of Soleros or something.
Okay.
Unders.
Unders. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Righty-ho, Wilco, your nap of the weekend?
My nap of the weekend, both teams to score in the game between Spurs and Leicester.
James?
I'm going for Burnley to beat Bournemouth. I think Sean Dyche will get the right reaction to the 5-0 defeat at Arsenal and Bournemouth. Very poor travellers.
OK, I am going to go for the Stoke draw double chance against Swansea. OK, thank you very much, chaps. That was excellent. We're back because the football season's certainly not finished yet. Is it? Got a cup final on Saturday week. Now, here's something, right? One of the rules in life, you have to watch the cup final, don't you? You just do. It's traditional. Will you be watching the cup final this year?
Probably not.
Really?
Because I'm flying to Turkey on holiday the next day and... an early flight, so I'll be on a train getting to Gatwick Airport to go to the hotel.
But would you have otherwise?
Probably. But then I'm still sick about Spurs not being in it.
Yeah. James, will you?
It's not the same without Arsenal in it, really. But if I'm in the office, I'll watch it. But
otherwise, you won't. Not. Really? You'll be at a choral recital or something, or flower pressing.
Okay. He's at the royal wedding.
Oh, yeah, yes. The royal wedding, of course.
Doing a reading.
Okay. Our Eurovision Song Contest. Is it called Eurovision Song Contest? Or is it just Eurovision?
You're at the wrong shop, I don't know.
We're doing a Eurovision postcast tomorrow, so don't miss that. Well, seriously, Stephen Cass, who is on that, is the absolute king of Eurovision. Believe me, he spends every waking hour thinking about it. So he will give you the best betting advice on that. There's also a GAA weekend preview. They're both out on Friday. And also Kiehl's and the gang will be back with all the Friday racing. So three great postcards for you. We're back next week. And don't forget, if you do enjoy the postcasts, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.